Revealing the Truth is a half-hour program designed to share the deeper truths from the Bible. We invite you to join us now for today's study and to consider the following.
Was Yahshua the Messiah destroying the law of Yahweh when he quoted in the book of Matthew from the Torah and then said, "But I say to you"?
It has been almost 2,000 years since the Messiah has walked the earth. Satan has done much, from instilling pagan ideas into true worship, to actually encouraging men to cover up the true names of our Heavenly Father and His Son. Our mission and purpose is to reach people around the world with the message of the revealed personal names of Yahweh and His Son Yahshua the Messiah, as well as teaching the salvational truths that have been neglected for centuries. The kingdom of Yahweh is coming soon. It's time to prepare.
Welcome to Revealing the Truth. I'm John Fisher, and with me is David Brett. We asked an intriguing question at the beginning of our episode today, about Yahshua in the book of Matthew, chapter 5, beginning in verse 21, is a series of things that he's saying there that one might conclude that he is changing the law of Yahweh somehow, because he quotes in Matthew 5, beginning at verse 21 and going through 48, two verses from the Ten Commandments, whether we're looking at Exodus 20 or Deuteronomy 5, you shall not murder and you shall not commit adultery. And then he includes, after the phrase, "You have heard it said of old," or "you've heard it said to those of old," that you shall not murder, you shall not commit adultery. And then he includes an admonition of Moses, which is, whoever divorces his wife, let him give her a certificate of divorce. Of course, he adds more to that verse, but I'm just sharing that with you. And then there's another one from the Ten Commandments, "You shall not swear falsely." But then there's another admonition from Moses, "but shall perform your oaths to Yahweh." And then he simply quotes from the Torah, "an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth," which is written a couple places in the Torah. And finally, "you shall love your neighbor." But then he adds, "and hate your enemy." And I was not able to find a place in Scripture where it says both of them together. So there's actually about seven different quotes from the Torah and one from the book of Psalms that he's saying, "ye have heard it said to those of old." And of course, he's referring to the Ten Commandments plus some of the statements from Moses given to him by Yahweh. But then after each one of those, he says, "but I say to you," and, you know, is he contradicting the law there? Is he changing the law? Is he doing away with the law? Is he destroying the law?
Could say he's changing it a little bit.
Yeah.
Because, you know, he's coming from the understanding that things need to be done a little bit better. There needs to be some improvement.
Yeah.
I'm not saying that a law can be improved upon, but you can perceive that law a little differently, and I think that's what Yahshua is wanting the people to see. He wants them to see just the higher level in the law.
Right. Now, are you saying, David, that that he's presenting something brand new, something at a higher level that's brand new?
No, not necessarily.
Yeah. Right. In fact, I think that he's really just like taking a magnifying glass and looking at what the real intent of the law was. Mm-hmm. It's not a list of things to do in order to get into the kingdom.
Mm-hmm. And that's actually prophesied in Isaiah 42, mm-hmm. verse 21. It says, Yahweh basically says, "I will magnify and make my law honorable."
Mm-hmm.
Because people would disregard it, and he had troubles with Israel over and over again. In fact, in the book of Amos, he would punish them, and they still wouldn't repent. He'd punish them again, they still wouldn't repent. Or they would repent for a little while, and then they'd go right back to disobeying him.
Right.
And that's not what he wanted. He wants us to do better than that.
Right. And, of course, a lot of people today say, well, it's impossible to do the commandments.
But that's not what Yahweh says.
Right, you know, and are the commandments, you know, just speaking of the Ten Commandments, are they salvation to mankind?
Well, it's a path of salvation, but it doesn't necessarily justify us.
Right. I mean, if you do all the Ten Commandments, does that mean that you're in, you know?
No.
No, it doesn't. But, you know, the question still remains, can we do the commandments? So let me ask you, can you worship Yahweh and Him alone? Is that possible for a human being to do?
Sure.
Yeah. Can you refrain from making idols and bowing down to them?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Can you use the name Yahweh when referring to your Heavenly Father or our Heavenly Father? Can you use that name?
Sure.
Okay. Can you gather together to worship Yahweh on the seventh day of the week and upon His other Sabbaths, refraining from doing your own pleasure? Is that possible to do?
Yeah.
Okay. Can you honor your father and your mother?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Can you refrain from murder?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. I think I've pretty much done that. Can you refrain from adultery?
Mm-hmm.
Stealing?
Sure.
Lying?
Mm-hmm.
Lusting after the material possessions of others?
Well, if my neighbor has a 69 vet, I don't know, it'd be kind of hard, but, you know, it is what it is.
Could you refrain?
Yes, I think I could.
Okay. Well, I would understand, David, mm-hmm. if you know, Satan tempts us with a lot of things that are pleasurable in this life. But I believe that the absolute truth is that we can do them. And the scripture also says that if we fall, you know, if we give in to those temptations, we do have an advocate mm-hmm. in the name of Yahshua Messiah.
That's true.
So why would Yahshua need to amplify anything if, I mean, these are, in some ways, these are difficult to do, but why would he want to amplify them?
Well, with the giving of the Spirit, I think he wants people to understand just what they're getting themselves into mm-hmm. with that. Mm-hmm. The Spirit gives spiritual insight. It does help us to walk on higher ground.
Right.
And it does allow us to understand the law a bit better than just, you know, a surface look, you know, in the black and white, you mm-hmm. know, looking at it.
Yeah, and I think that there is this point. I don't know if you've noticed in Scripture that there's many times when there's a division between the sheep and the mm-hmm. goats, and so it was separating the men from the boys, you might say. In each one of these statements that he takes from the Torah and Psalms, he amplifies each one. For mm-hmm. example, in the commandment, you shall not murder, he says, whoever is angry with his brother without a cause shall be in danger of the judgment, that is, eternal death. So he's amplifying this law about murdering someone by saying, if you're angry at your brother, you have essentially, actually, he doesn't say murdered him in your heart, but you're in danger of the judgment, which later on he describes as translated in the English, hellfire. What that really means is death.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not just death being buried in the ground, but eternal death, you know, mm-hmm. essentially. And in response to you shall not commit adultery, he says, whoever looks at a woman to lust for her has already committed adultery with her in his heart. So here we have this admonition that the commandments are about something in the heart. They're not about something that you simply do, you know, acting out as if you're a robot, but it's something within one's heart. It's something within one's desire, one's need to fulfill, to be obedient to. When you come back, we're going to talk about these in much more detail.
If you saw Mel Gibson's movie, The Passion of the Christ, then you no doubt heard in the Aramaic the true name of the Savior, Yahshua the Messiah. If you listen to a foreign radio station, you may not understand what is said, but when a president's name is mentioned, it will be understood, because names do not change from one language to another. To learn more, request your free mini-study, How the Savior's Name Was Changed. Write to YAIY, 2963 County Road 233, Kingdom City, Missouri 65262, or visit us online at yaiy.org. You may also call toll-free 1-877-642-4101.
Welcome back. We're talking about Yahshua's recitation of scripture from the Torah, mm-hmm. and how he's declared, "But I say to you," and a lot of people would, I mean, in our language today, when someone says that, they're basically speaking in a contradictory way. And our hope is that we might help you understand that Yahshua, if you look back at Matthew 5:17, says that I've not, don't even think that I've done away with, that I've come to destroy the law or the prophets. I have not come to destroy, but to fulfill, but to validate, mm-hmm. to put my stamp of approval upon them.
And in context, I mean, that's really what he's saying, because he says not one jot or tittle will be removed from the law until all is fulfilled. All has not been fulfilled.
Right.
Even today, all has not been fulfilled that needs to be, done.
Right.
And of course, we see prophetic things in the feast days that Yahweh has for his people.
Right. There are a lot of dangerous teachings out there saying that because he died for us, that he's fulfilled the law of Yahweh, and therefore we don't have to. I mean, that does mm-hmm. not make any sense.
Well, he says, shortly after he says, that he did not come to abolish, he says, whoever then annuls one of the least of these commandments and teaches others to do the same shall be called least in the kingdom of heaven. And this is Matthew 5:19. It's just a couple verses later.
Right.
So you have to look at these things in context and see what it's really saying.
Absolutely. And I mean, what we're talking about here is just a further more evidence of what he's trying to convey.
Sure.
We talked about the idea of murder and how anger basically is reflective of murder, in that someone who is angry, and I'm assuming, which I probably shouldn't do, but I'm assuming that if I'm angry, but I go to my brother and reconcile with him, which is part of these verses, mm-hmm. Then only then can I come back and offer an offering. Now, back then, they offered animal sacrifice.
Sure,
but what do we offer today?
Mm-hmm. Well, spiritual.
Yeah, well, we offer prayer and praise mm-hmm. to Yahweh. Mm-hmm. And so before we come together and praise Yahweh, if we've done something that was offensive to a brother, we need to go to that brother and reconcile with him mm-hmm. before we offer our praises up.
Yeah. The interesting thing about this is he is letting people know, look, you are to do what the law says. Now, the temple was standing, and people were not in the Messiah at that time.
Right.
It came about where, we can now be in the Messiah. And if we're in the Messiah, we're under a new order, a Melchizedek order.
Mm-hmm.
But does that mean the Levitical priest or order is no longer valid? For those not in Messiah, it is very well in order for them.
Mm-hmm.
It's valid for them.
Right.
And it looks like in the coming kingdom that Levitical order is going to be still standing, mm-hmm. Ezekiel 40, chapter 40 and on, even with the Messiah there. But these are physical people that are going to be there obeying those. And
right, they might need the physical evidence bringing them to the Messiah.
I think they'll need more, yeah, because they didn't accept the Messiah in this life.
Mm-hmm.
And they'll be brought into the kingdom as a physical people, the ones that didn't die during the tribulation. So
mm-hmm.
it
yeah.
gets into some depth of Scripture
right.
there.
It's another important concept that we probably should talk about sometime is Melchizedek, because Melchizedek are two Hebrew words, Melchi and Tzaddik.
Mm-hmm.
And Tzaddik means righteous, and Melchi means king, king of righteousness. And how else is righteousness measured but by obedience to the law? I mean,
sure.
there's so many things that put this puzzle of the Scripture together. And if you're looking at it in the correct perspective, honoring Yahweh and honoring His law, All of these things make sense.
And that's exactly what the Savior did. So when we walk in the Savior's footsteps, we're literally walking in the Spirit, in the truth, in the law, because he did not break his Father's instructions. But it's true that there's a number of scriptures, Galatians, Hebrews, they say that the physical sacrifices for us in Messiah, those in Messiah, are not to do those things, except in a spiritual sense.
Well, it would be really interesting to see what happens. Let us pray that we are in the first resurrection.
That's the best one.
Moving on in the statements that Yahshua made, but then said, but I say to you, we talked about you shall not commit adultery, including the statement by Moses, statement by Moses, I don't mean by him alone, but this is given to him through Yahweh. Whoever divorces his wife, let him give her a certificate of divorce. And in response to that, Yahshua says, but I say to you, and whoever divorces his wife for any reason except sexual immorality causes her to commit adultery. Now, the way I'm reading that, and correct me, David, if I'm wrong, but no matter what the reason is that someone divorces their wife, they are causing her to commit adultery. Now, if she's practicing sexual immorality of some sort, which, i.e., adultery, I mean, there's no question about that. But he says, except for adultery.
Yeah, there's some different schools of thought back at that time that I think Yahshua is addressing, the Shammai and the Hillel schools who, you know, were at odds with one another. I think Yahshua is describing something that the people would have understood at that time. And maybe with that understanding, maybe we can get into that a little later, but that's something that helps us to understand what he's talking about.
Right, and he does say, and this is really the main message, you know, if we look at a woman, or if a woman looks at a man with lust, that they've essentially committed adultery in their heart. That's an idea that, as Paul says this, you know, it's not things out there that make us do things. You know, we set our mind on it, and then our mind follows. And our actions follow our minds.
Yeah, I guess we could say that we're actually going against the spiritual intent of the law in that respect.
Makes sense.
Yeah.
Okay. Next, Yahshua says, you've heard it said of old, you shall not swear falsely, but perform your oaths to Yahweh. But then he says, do not swear at all. And so, and later on in that verse, he says, you know, let your yes be yes and no be no. Well, what does that mean? It means honor and answer honestly, basically, is what I'm hearing. And that's a trait that I think that many in our society need improvement upon. It's not, you know, and I say that not being facetious, but I'm not sure that people really know what it means to be honest. And we often, especially in our relationships, will not tell a partner about something that we're thinking or we're feeling in order to preserve the relationship. But what have we created? If we don't share honestly with our partners, they don't know how to respond to us. And when we're holding it inside, maybe our resentment grows and grows, and finally we lash out at the other person. They have no clue about what's going on. But if I had said something in the beginning about something I was thinking or feeling that we would call negative, you know, I'm disappointed in something, you know, she's doing, then we could have worked it through, and then we could just set it aside and move on in our relationship. But honesty is something that maybe we'll come back and talk about when you come back.
Did you know that the Heavenly Father's name has been purposely covered up in the Bible almost 7,000 times? It was done in an effort to protect people from blaspheming the sacred name. But because of this doctrine, people have broken the third commandment. It's time to come out of man-made errors and into the true worship of Yahweh, our Heavenly Father. To learn more, request your free in-depth study entitled The Mistaken J. Write to YAIY, 2963 County Road 233, Kingdom City, Missouri 65262, or visit us online at yaiy.org. You may also call toll free 1-877-642-4101.
We left off discussing about honesty, and I was taking it a little bit off to the side, talking about relationships and how important it is to be honest. But the issue, as we were kind of talking about on break, of swearing in the name of Yahweh, it's bringing him into the picture, whereas Joshua is saying, no, just be honest. You know, just do it.
Yeah.
You know, you don't have to try and convince people by bringing the name of the Creator in on this. I mean, you're either telling the truth or you're not. So I just encourage you to tell the truth. I think that's what he's trying to say there. Then he quotes an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth, and says in response to that, but I say to you, do not resist an evil person. And that, wow. I mean, I look at my life and how sometimes people have treated me in such a way that clearly judgmental or threatening or blaming, and to resist that person, to not resist that person, not to defend ourselves, that's a difficult thing to do. He's asking, talk about putting a magnifying glass on the scripture. It's easy to take revenge, to want to take revenge. And I think that's the admonition that Joshua is saying to us. Don't take revenge.
Yeah, I think so too. In fact, he was talking to the disciples in private, but of course we have this for our admonition today. He wasn't saying, you know, look, the civil law is done away with. You know, we have civil law today, and we are to abide by the powers that are. In Romans 13, it tells us that. And if we go against the powers that be, then we're actually going against Yahweh, because he establishes everything for us. But we find that, like, you know, if we're in a car accident, we're not just to, you know, turn the other cheek necessarily and say, oh, my insurance is, I don't have to deal with this. No, we deal with these things under the laws of the land. But I think, yeah, it gets down to the point of seeking revenge, you know, oh, I'm going to go and destroy their home or something. No, we're not supposed to do that.
Right, and you know, in Hebrews chapter 10, it talks about how it is Yahweh who, vengeance is mine, saith Yahweh, I will repay. And so for us to take on the job of taking vengeance upon someone who's done us wrong is out of place for us. We don't have that authority to do that. So I think Joshua is simply trying to make that, you know, very clear. And then on the part that says, you shall love your neighbor and hate your enemy, these are actually from two different places in Scripture. And but he's including them, I suppose that perhaps back then they included that, you know, love your neighbor but hate your enemy. It's kind of maybe a banner of some sort, speaking figuratively. But then he says, but I say to you, love your enemies, for if you love those who love you, what reward have you? You know, how true is that? I mean, people show us affection, and then we show them affection back. I mean, it's not a challenge. And so many times I've heard people say, well, if people respect me, then I will respect them.
Yeah.
And my question is, well, what if they don't respect you? Are you still willing to be respectful towards them? And oh, no. You know, it's like, okay. Well, I suppose they haven't read this section here. Where
But it is. You know, it's hard to, you know, smile at someone that's frowning at you or looking mean at you. You know,
yeah. And that happens. Yeah, actually threatening you.
And, sure, that happens to you. But yeah, we're to take a little different, you know, stand than what would normally be of the flesh, you know, which would be, you know, well, I'm gonna, you know, growl back at you, or do you harm or something.
Well, I think, I just use myself as an example. I mean, in younger days, which are many years, it was easy for me to become upset at someone who was upset at me. I did not understand. It's as if I didn't have the Spirit in my life, and at the time that I'm speaking of course, I did not. I think I've always wanted to have the Spirit, but I didn't have it in those days. And so it was easy for me to become angry at people who were angry at me. But since then, and this is, I guess, something to say in favor of age, and experience.
Wisdom.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Is that when we understand why people are upset at us, then, you know, we can respond to the cause of their anger and not to the anger itself. Because anger comes out of pain, comes out of fear, comes out of disappointment, comes out of feelings of betrayal and guilt and shame and feelings of worthlessness and powerlessness. Mm-hmm. I mean, so I've been blessed with the understanding that when people are upset, they are just simply telling me the type of pain or a type of pain that they're experiencing. And my job is to try and figure out what that pain is. Mm-hmm. And to respond to them as a caring and compassionate person, to try and first of all understand, and then give them feedback that helps them know that I know what's going on, that you're not really mad at me, mm-hmm. that there's something going on for you.
But you can't do that when someone, you know, cuts you off and gives the horn and some theatrical sarcasm out the rearview mirror.
Well, I beg to differ. I can do that.
Oh, okay.
Okay. I mean, I'd be communicating that to that person.
Well, you can have self-control at least.
Right.
You don't
right.
have to.
Right. In my mind,
give back in like kind, whatever they're, you know, shouting or giving the horn or whatever.
Right. Right. Mm-hmm. And, but in my mind, I mean, I can understand that, you know, person was in a hurry, they were late, you know, it's an emergency of some sort. It doesn't matter what it is. They're acting the way they do because of something going on for them.
Right.
It's not about me. And I think that's, one of the powers of the Spirit is to gives us a sense of humility about ourselves, that we are not great. By virtue of our own value, our own worth, our own works, we are nothing. We're fodder for the lake of fire, in essence, and in and of ourselves. But with the Holy Spirit, that Spirit within us is what the Father sees, you know, given to us through Yahshua.
Yeah, it helps subdue our flesh. Mm-hmm. I think is a good way of describing it. And you know, whereas we might get angry otherwise, that Spirit is helping us to not be so fleshly minded, but rather spiritually minded.
Right. Yeah. And, you know, this is not, again, this is not a brand new topic.
Okay.
In Deuteronomy chapter 30, verse 11, we'll end with this, verse 11 through 14. For this commandment, we read the commandment singular, it's referring to the set of Ten Commandments, which I command you today, is not too mysterious for you, nor is it far off. It is not in heaven that you should say, who will ascend into heaven for us to bring it to us, that we may hear it and do it. Nor is it beyond the sea that you would say, who will go over the sea for us and bring it to us, that we may hear it and do it. But the word is very near you, in your mouth and in your heart, that you may do it. And that's just a wonderful verse. It's pointing to, and this is in the book of Deuteronomy, it's pointing to the need to have heart, to have courage, to have a desire to please our Heavenly Father. I pray that you'll see that when you read your scriptures.
Thank you for joining us today. Tune in next time as we look into more of Yahweh's Word and His revealed truth.